Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Out for blood. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
For more sensitive viewers, this episode contains some graphic details including animal cruelty, the sexual abuse of minors, bloodletting, and homicide. Today on Ghost Town, we'll be discussing a cult that feels perversely right out of a comic book, or maybe more appropriately, a horror movie. Ultimately, however, this case is 100% real, telling the story of warped teenage minds under trauma and without adult supervision or care. Welcome to the world of Kentucky and Florida's small but destructive vampire clan, a group that's been called a, quote, teenage vampire cult, whose vampiric mayhem produced a double homicide and the youngest inmate on death row to date. 100 miles north of Nashville, Tennessee, is Murray, Kentucky, a remote town where Roderick Justin Farrell was born on March 28, 1980, to teenage parents. Farrell's mother, Sandra Gibson, moved back and forth between Florida and Kentucky with her son, where she danced and occasionally engaged in sex work to make ends meet. It was a tough life, compounded with Farrell's claims that he was raped by his maternal grandfather at the young age of 5. While no charges were ever filed, Farrell's maternal aunt testified that he sexually abused both her and Sandra Gibson as well. Perhaps to cope with the abuses and hardships of his young life, Farrell began becoming interested in the macabre. Eventually, mother and son settled in Murray, Kentucky, where Sandra Gibson is said to have taken part, dabbled, in vampirism. I couldn't get details as to specifically what that meant, but soon her son followed suit. Already a fan of fantasy role-playing games, such as Dungeons & Dragons and Vampire the Masquerade, Farrell fell in with other disaffected teenagers who professed to be living the, quote, vampire lifestyle, which is pretty much what you'd think. They drank each other's blood, wore all black, and listened to gothic and industrial music. As Farrell was getting deeper and deeper into his new identity and narrative as a vampire living in the contemporary United States, things would only escalate. Farrell expanded on his identity, telling people he was a 500-year-old vampire named Visago. He also began actively recruiting followers who wanted to be vampires and believed in his mission of growing a strong vampire clan. Farrell and his followers would meet at an abandoned cement structure they called Hotel California, deep in the woods. These meetings would often include things like drinking each other's blood and other death rituals, including Farrell conducting a ritual called, quote, crossing over, which would effectively initiate new vampire candidates into the world of vampirism, or making them vampires, of course, involved drinking blood. During this time, Farrell became friends with a teenager named Heather Wendorf, whom the Sentinel described as, quote, a troubled Eustis High sophomore who rebelled against her parents over cleaning her room and other trivial matters. She was crossed over by Farrell at the time, as was 16-year-old Howard Scott Anderson, who came from, quote, grinding poverty with an alcoholic father who abused his mother, according to Florida's Daily Commercial newspaper. 35-year-old Sandra Gibson, Farrell's mother, meanwhile, also participated actively in this growing vampire cult, including being present at the crossing over ceremonies and activities that were much more troubling, including sending lurid letters to a 14-year-old boy, according to the Sentinel, saying that she would be his, quote, bride as part of their big vampire family. I long to be near you, to become a vampire, a part of the family immortal and truly yours forever, one letter reads. You will then come to me and cross over with me, and I will be your bride for eternity, and you my sire. The group's numbers and thirst for morbid ritual only grew, and on October 14, 1996, Farrell led a group to vandalize the Murray Calloway County Animal Shelter, killing two puppies and releasing dozens of dogs. Then Sheriff Stan Scott told this to the Murray Ledger and Times before learning Farrell's identity. Quote, "We're dealing with some sick individuals and I want them caught. This goes way beyond a simple breaking and entering. This is a case of absolute vandalism, and these people need to be caught." Scott theorized that they were, quote, "related to some kind of cult activity, given the graphic nature of the crimes." By November 2, 1996, Farrell and another were identified as suspects, and Scott estimated that there were as many as 10 individuals in the group that called themselves, quote, "the Vampire Clan." Farrell faced charges of animal cruelty, criminal attempt to commit burglary, and criminal trespassing, but the Vampire Clan lived on. On November 25, 1996, Farrell, his 16-year-old girlfriend Charity Kesey, Scott Anderson, and 19-year-old Dana Cooper drove to Eustis, Florida in Anderson's car to pick up Heather Wendorf. The aim was, in Farrell's mind, to gather the, quote, "Vampire Clan" and move to New Orleans so they could live together as one big vampire family. It's also rumored that Farrell liked a video arcade in New Orleans, so that might have been another reason the group was headed there. Farrell also thought, based on her conflict with her parents, that he was saving Wendorf from a troubled home by taking her away with the vampire cult. According to court documents, Heather had repeatedly told Farrell her parents abused her and that she had expressed a desire to run away from home, which she called a, quote, "hell." That same day, Farrell, Anderson, Kesey, and Cooper arrived at Heather Wendorf's home and drove her to her boyfriend's apartment so she could say goodbye before leaving for New Orleans, leaving Farrell and Anderson outside the Wendorf home. Before the girls left, Heather Wendorf told Farrell not to harm anyone inside. Farrell and Anderson broke into the Wendorf garage, picking up a crowbar on the way in. There they encountered 49-year-old Richard Wendorf asleep on his couch. Before Richard awakened, Farrell beat him multiple times with a crowbar, fracturing both his skull and ribs, instantly knocking him out and killing him shortly thereafter. "I just kept beating him and beating him and beating him and beating him, taking pleasure in it," Farrell would later tell investigators. Naomi Ruth Queen, Heather's mother, was in the shower when Farrell and Anderson entered their home. When she heard a noise, she went into the kitchen where she found Farrell and Anderson in her home searching for valuables. She reacted by throwing a cup of scalding hot coffee onto Farrell, according to court documents, and also scratched and clawed his face. Farrell also killed her with a crowbar, striking her so hard with it that it severed her brainstem, killing her instantly. He claimed in his confession, however, that his original plan was to allow her to live, but when she attacked him, he got angry and changed his mind. The Orlando Sentinel reports that after both victims were killed, they were given ritualistic burns, V for Farrell's vampire name. Farrell and Anderson then searched the house for valuables and left after stealing a credit card, some jewelry, and the family's blue Ford Explorer. Jennifer Wendorf, Heather's 17-year-old sister, discovered their parents' dead bodies when she returned home from work that night. During a 2019 hearing in which Farrell sought resentencing, Jennifer Wendorf described being horrifically traumatized after finding her mother's, quote, "brains scattered all over the kitchen," and wondered at the time, quote, "where did his face go," when she saw her father's corpse on the couch. Heather Wendorf, now miles away in her own murdered parents' Ford Explorer, wouldn't realize her parents had been killed until long after she left town. Law enforcement were already processing the case, however, and the murder was tracked quickly to the teen and her violent new friends. On November 27th, 2 days later, murder warrants were issued for all five teenagers. On that note, let's take a break. After 4 days of driving through four states on the run, the teen vampire clan, including Rod Farrell, Charity Kesey, Scott Anderson, Dana Cooper, and Heather Wendorf, were tracked down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. After 4 days driving through four states on the run, the teen vampire clan, including Rod Farrell, Charity Kesey, Scott Anderson, Dana Cooper, and Heather Wendorf, were tracked down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They used Richard Wendorf's credit card to purchase gas and a knife along the way, but a phone call is the thing that gave them away. Charity Kesey placed a call to her grandmother in South Dakota asking for money. Immediately, Kesey's grandmother informed the police about her whereabouts and helped them trick Farrell, Wendorf, and the rest of the teens into going to a local Howard Johnson's hotel to get some sleep. On Thanksgiving Day, November 28, 1996, they were arrested by law enforcement without incident. The four were held at a Baton Rouge jail for a week before being extradited back to Florida, where they were initially booked at the Lake County Jail. Of course, the press soon went wild with news of the Vampire Clan, as they were called. Their stories of bloodletting, violence, and crime. In statements to Louisiana authorities and to Florida detectives, Farrell took most of the blame for the crimes, but there was no denying the powerful group dynamics at play and support systems within the teenage group. For the role in his crimes, Anderson pleaded guilty to 2 counts of first-degree murder and was sentenced to life in prison. Anderson, who told detectives he, quote, froze when Farrell carried out the attacks, later had his sentence reduced to 40 years behind bars. Charity Kesey was sentenced to 10 years in prison, while Dana Cooper received a 7-year sentence. Both women have since been released. Heather Wendorf was never charged in connection to her parents' deaths, since she, Kesey, and Cooper were in a car when the murders took place. Rod Farrell's murder trial began on February 12, 1998. Farrell was then 17 years old. His attorneys tried to argue that he was insane, that he had been diagnosed with mental disorders, including schizotypal personality disorder and Asperger's syndrome. The University of Florida further attested that Farrell sometimes witnessed spiritual things, such as angels and demons. But at the end of the day, the teenager pled guilty to 2 counts of first-degree murder, armed burglary, and armed robbery. Quote, I think you are a disturbed young man, Circuit Judge Jerry Lockett told the defendant. I think your family failed you. I think society failed you. Less than 2 weeks later, a jury returned a unanimous verdict to have the teen sent to the electric chair. The decision made Farrell the youngest person on Florida's death row. Citing Farrell's troubled background, many criticized the harshness of the sentence. In 2000, 2 years after his trial, the Florida Supreme Court banned juveniles from automatic death sentences, and Farrell's sentence was commuted to life without the possibility of parole. Following Farrell's death sentence, his mother, Sandra Gibson, also suggested that Heather Wendorf had a role in her parents' murders and should have been more culpable, stating, quote, there's one person walking around who's just as guilty as he is. Speaking of Mother of the Year Sandra Gibson, she was never charged in connection with the double murder, though at the time of Farrell's sentencing, the presiding judge said plainly, quote, I think Rod Farrell's mother should be on trial for some of this. In a 2020 response to a 2019 appeal, one of many, a judge found Rod Farrell, quote, irreparably corrupt, and referred to the crimes as, quote, among the most appalling, according to Daily Commercial. Quote, I know nothing I say or do can bring them back, Rod Farrell said at a hearing. I hope you can know just how truly sorry I am. Rod Farrell continues serving life at the Central Florida Reception Center in Orlando, and I'm sure this does not surprise you when I say that Farrell's time in prison hasn't been uneventful either. Records show that he enjoys a multitude of female visitors, pen pals, and marriage proposals. One of these potential female visitors was arrested for public intoxication, public nudity, shoplifting, and criminal activity. In 2005, Farrell got in trouble when one of his private female visitors sent him a picture she took of them kissing and touching during a prior prison visit. Quote, there have been a lot of girls, Sandra Gibson said of her son's pen pals and suitors. Farrell was even married to one woman for a time, Gibson said. So does Rod Farrell still consider himself a vampire? I don't think so, but it is hard to say. According to some interviews, it feels as though Farrell has left his vampire cult behind, instead content to be an oddity within his own new following within the prison system. Quote, I tried to embrace the lifestyle of being a vampire, and being so young, my mind latched onto it so deeply that I got lost inside of it, he said in a much later interview. But perhaps more importantly, as we wrap up this episode, is hearing once more from a victim of Farrell's horrific crime. Heather Wendorf's sister, Jennifer Wendorf, is currently estranged from Heather. She continues to be a strong advocate against Farrell ever leaving prison and speaks powerfully about her family tragedy, specifically during Farrell's 2000 sentencing. Quote, may I have a place that's not traumatized by looking over my shoulder? If he ever gets out, I'll be destroyed. I'll be back to that lonely girl nearly 23 years ago.